This is the Dare to Dream Physician Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Waylee Gray. Hey, you know how many physicians today are feeling overwhelmed and trapped, living that busy and unfulfilling life? Yet more than ever, we as physicians are keenly aware that life is precious and tomorrow is not guaranteed to anyone. My mission is to help physicians start living their best life now by discovering and achieving their wildest travel dreams. So come, join us on this journey. Welcome back to another episode of the Dare to Dream Physician podcast. I'm so excited for our guest today and the conversation that we're going to have. This is just a topic that's near and dear to my heart. And I think all of you are going to get so much out of our conversation today. My guest, her name is Dr. Jeannie Lawrence. She's a psychiatrist, a psychotherapist, and coach for women physicians. She's the owner of a niche private practice in North Carolina and also the creator of Emotional Mastery for Women Physicians, a program that's designed to help women in medicine create lives that are not only successful on the outside, but feel amazing on the inside. And more importantly, I can just vouch for Dr. Jeannie as a person because I've actually had the pleasure of meeting her in real life at a retreat last year. And she's just such a kind soul and just a really, really amazing human being. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Dr. Jeannie. Welcome.
Thank you, Waylee. I'm so excited to be here and have this conversation with you. Thanks for having me on.
So I've been really looking forward to our discussion because mental health is, I think, so important in general. And I feel like our culture and our society is now on the brink of making that shift to finally destigmatizing mental health, but also in professionals, in physicians. I think this is still maybe more stigmatized than it needs to be for various reasons, but lately when I look at the news and I look at stories of physicians that have committed suicide, for example, you know, that I know that's a more extreme version, but to me, when I see that, it's just so painful to watch or to learn about these stories of physicians that felt like their best way out because of the pain that they're in is to actually end their life. Because this podcast is about life planning and about helping physicians dare to dream their most fulfilling and meaningful life. I just thought that your expertise and the conversation that we have is going to help our listeners really think about what is it about their mental health that they could start making a change in today that can help them get to their dream life.
I'm really glad that you were open to having this conversation on your platform. I think that mental health and physician mental health is, like you said, something that carries a lot of stigma, and it's not talked about as much as it should be. And there's a lot of silence and shame around topics like depression and suicide. And I think the only way to really reverse what we're seeing, which is record high rates of burnout and physicians having the highest suicide rate of any profession, the only way that we're going to make a dent in that is starting by having open conversations about it and shedding light on a place that's been really hidden and dark. So I'm really glad that you've been willing to have this conversation on your platform.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself, Dr. Jeannie. I mean, how did you end up being a psychiatrist and a psychotherapist?
Yeah. Let's see. So going down memory lane a little bit, when I decided to be a physician, first of all, I didn't know that psychiatry was a medical specialty. And I'll share a quick story. I remember as a pre-med student taking a tour of the medical school that I eventually went to, and I was walking with one of the head deans of the college, and she is a psychiatrist. And I said something to her, I put my foot in my mouth and I said, when I found out that she was a psychiatrist, I was like, I didn't know psychiatrists were medical doctors. And she was really gracious and didn't shame me for making that statement. But in retrospect, that was probably, you know, a faux pas to say the least, to say that to my dean. But she was gracious and explained to me that, yeah, psychiatrists are medical doctors and you can choose this as a medical specialty too. How I landed on it, I definitely, like I said, I didn't know that it was a specialty. I had no thought to go into psychiatry when I started med school. I thought about a lot of different things, maybe that I might be an OBGYN. I had a rotation. I spent a whole year actually interning with an ophthalmologist. I really liked that. But I went through all of my rotations and I think psychiatry was like my last or second to last rotation, third year when we're checking out all the medical specialties. And it just felt different when I got there. I liked all my other rotations, but I just loved psychiatry. I think there's something about being able to spend time with folks and hear their stories that really resonated with me. I think my whole life, I've been someone who imagined myself working with an underserved population, and psychiatry really allows me to do that. Because unfortunately, mental health is so stigmatized. And so that group of people as a whole is generally underserved. And so I think it just kind of clicked for me and I went for it. I was another story, definitely met with some opposition when I decided to go into psychiatry. This was many years ago, but it wasn't a popular choice. I remember very clearly my internal medicine attending pulling me aside and saying like, hey, don't go into psychiatry, whatever you do. And I even had some family and friends who expressed surprise that I would choose that out of all the specialties that I could go into. But I definitely had to follow my gut and my heart in that. And I'm really, really, really glad that I did because it feels like the right fit for me. So yeah.
Wow. I love that. And I can relate to so much of what you said there. Actually, psychiatry was I did not expect this at all, but it was one of my favorite rotations as a third year medical student. And I highly consider going into psychiatry as well. And sometimes I think back, what would have happened if I had picked psychiatry? I think I would really, really enjoy it now. And I still do some of that because I have patients in sleep medicine and there's a lot of mental health where we cover there. But I just think back to, because I graduated medical school in 2009, and just even the culture shift that's happened then. I think in the last 10, 15 years since I've been in medical school, there's also just been a lot more interest. One is neuroscience has really taken off, made leaps and bounds in discoveries, and it's now in our popular culture. And also just that starting to destigmatize some of these mental health conditions that in medical school, maybe we saw extreme cases of. And that was actually the question I wanted to ask you too, which is you started wanting to help the underserved, right? And that's sort of kind of what drew you to psychiatry. And now I'm sure you still have a heart to serve the underserved, but the sense I'm getting is that you're also wanting to serve a different population. You mentioned like women physicians. Women physicians is not, we're certainly not underprivileged because you can argue like with our education, financial means that we're more privileged than a lot of patients that are kind of the patients that we think about who we took care of as medical students in psychiatry. But, you know, what kind of made you interested in this population?
Yeah, I like the distinction that you started to make between underprivileged and underserved. So I agree with you that women physicians from like a socioeconomic standpoint and education, all of that is not a traditionally underprivileged population, but I do think we're underserved. That when you think about how difficult it is for a physician in general who's struggling with their mental health to get any kind of help and support, I think that's where the underservice is. And I think that is why physicians have the highest suicide rate of any profession and why women physicians die by suicide rates that are 130% higher than the population. I think we are underserved because the barriers to care are so high. When you think about a lot of physicians don't seek help because there are questions like on our medical licensing applications that ask about mental health history. And there are certainly stories of people being denied their ability to practice and thereby their ability to care for their families because of a diagnosis or something like that. Or when you think about, like you mentioned at the very beginning, even though there's been some push in kind of general culture to reduce stigma around mental health, it's still pretty strong in the medical community. It's still not something that we can talk about openly and honestly. And again, there's that stigma and that shame that keeps people in silence. The fact that women and physicians in general oftentimes opt to suffer alone and in silence because there isn't that access and support, and then end up dying alone, really tragically sometimes, I think does point to the fact that this group of people is really underserved and just not seen. And I could go on about that, but I think what I do now still really aligns with what's always been my passion, helping people who aren't being helped and not receiving the kind of care that they deserve. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would just love to hear, as a psychiatrist and psychotherapist, you talk to women physicians who suffer, and maybe oftentimes before they meet you and talk to you, maybe they're suffering sort of alone. I would love to try to just better understand, like get inside the stories and the heads of these women physicians who are suffering, who are dealing with either depression or anxiety or multiple mental health conditions. Do you have any, and of course, keeping everything anonymous, but do you have any sort of stories or examples that you could share with us, so we sort of have a better understanding of what it's like to live with this firsthand?
Yeah, kind of generally sharing and generally speaking, I'll say that the folks who come to me for help usually aren't saying that I have depression. They're coming in saying, I'm really overwhelmed. They're saying, I'm starting to feel burned out at work. I am burned out at work. I'm super stressed, or I'm not sure how much longer I can keep doing this. These are like the kind of chief concerns that I hear. And I think I'm glad you asked that question, because I think people don't often self-select for depression, right? They don't come in thinking that they have depression, almost never. They just know that the things I just mentioned, that they're stressed, they're overwhelmed, or their relationships, maybe with their husband or their kids, that they're snapping, or that end of things isn't going. They know it's like really hard to get up and get going in the mornings, and they're going to work and they're showing up and they're making it. So nobody's noticing that anything is off, but at home, things are falling behind. And like I said, close family members are noticing that they don't want to be bothered, or they're turning to food or alcohol or something to kind of deal. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that the presentation that I see is not like that obvious stereotypical depression that people might imagine and get from TV and programming, right? These folks are not like losing their jobs or not able to pay their bills or take care of their families or doing all of those things, but behind the scenes and in a much more subtle way, they're struggling and having a hard time, and really pointing to the external things that they're dealing with, like relationship problems and overwhelm and all this stuff. And then when we dig deeper, we see that sometimes depression is what's going on underneath all of that.
Wow. As you're describing that, this image kind of flashed in my mind, which is, I think, exactly why we are always so disturbed when we read an article about physician suicide, right? Because when you see these articles, you read about the physician who committed suicide, and usually their life sounds amazing on the outside, right? They could be a successful dermatologist with a husband and multiple kids. And it's like, you look at that and probably the first reaction is, wow, they have so much going for them. Why did they end their life? What would drive them to end their life? And this is exactly what you are just describing from patients and clients that come meet with you, which is, it doesn't look like there's anything wrong on the outside. And I think that is the silent epidemic of physician mental health, that it doesn't look like anything's wrong, but they're suffering so much on the inside. It's almost like they can't even acknowledge it themselves, because there isn't any, but they haven't lost their jobs. They still have their homes. They still have their family. They're not divorced, or it's like things don't even look like they're falling apart, but they feel that way. And they may have been feeling that way for years.
Yeah. I think there's a normalization of struggle in medicine, right? Like, we know it's hard. It's difficult to become a doctor. It's difficult. And so that struggle, like, kind of becomes normal. And when you look, when all of your colleagues and all of your friends, by the way, are physicians too, who are probably struggling as much as you are, then it just starts to seem like it's, again, normal, right? Like, everybody's kind of in a bad mood, right? Everybody's kind of like dreading coming to work. Everybody's kind of eating too much or drinking too much or whatever to try to cope behind the scenes. And so I think by association, and then also just by the rigors of the profession, struggle becomes kind of normal. And so that's why people don't really see what they're dealing with as anything that requires any help or support, I think.
That is such a good point. Because as you were naming the, you know, one thing that flashed in my mind was, yes, this rings exactly true of these, you know, physician suicide articles that I read. But then the other part that came to my mind when you were telling me about how these women usually come to you is, oh, isn't that's what every woman physician I know usually struggle with. They feel overwhelmed. They're snappy. That's really more the norm than the exception. And then there's maybe a few unicorns that are not experiencing that. And I look up to those people, but in general, that is pretty much what we encounter on a regular basis.
Yeah. I think a lot of physicians are kind of, a lot of times you just don't know that there's more out there. Like, maybe you have a sense that there's some happy people out there or satisfied people out there, but again, you don't see it. And then there's something about the rigors of medicine. And like, when you're working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, you're kind of in survival mode. So you don't really have the time or the bandwidth to really exist at a higher level, if that makes sense. You don't have time for personal development, and you don't have time for self-care or even rest and, like, you know, normal bodily human needs that we all have. And so, yeah, all of these are reasons that the struggle that women physicians go through, physicians in general go through, gets unnoticed by folks from the outside, and then also by the folks struggling themselves.
I'm so grateful for an opportunity to start the discussion on physician mental health with Dr. Jeannie Lawrence. This is just a teaser of what's going to come next week when we have part two of our conversation. That is going to be a phenomenal episode. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you don't miss that episode. In the meantime, I'll be sharing in the show notes ways that you can connect with Dr. Jeannie Lawrence. I really believe in the work that she's doing. And then I also hope that this will stimulate conversation with you and your colleagues, with you and your family members on physician mental health. Until next time.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed that episode, please share it with a friend and go on your favorite podcast app to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It really helps us to get the word out there. Also, I am really excited to announce I've started an online Facebook community for physicians. Go and search for Dare to Dream Physician Travel. That's the name of the Facebook group. If you have trouble finding us, the link is also in the show notes. I hope to see you on the inside.